take the speaker a couple minutes to get up here, so. I mentioned before, today's message is on Psalm 103. I've been considering this for some months, and I'll share in a couple minutes when I was prompted to really look into this psalm and consider it. First of all, a psalm, you may have heard this definition, there's others, but a psalm is a sacred psalm, song or hymn, a sacred song or hymn. In particular, any of those contained in the biblical book of Psalms and used in Christian and Jewish worship. Psalm 103 is called one of the greatest praise psalms, a thanksgiving song for God's mercy and blessing. Psalm 103 was written by David, who, by the way, wrote 73 of 150 psalms. I didn't know that. David, in spite of his sin, received God's mercy, a wonderful truth for us as well. We get that truth in Romans 5:8 that says, "But God commended or demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I pray that all who hear this message today have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work alone for their salvation. And eternal security causes us to bless his name, doesn't it? Because of God's mercy toward us, we should praise him and his precious son for the gift of salvation and for all the blessings that he gives us. Bless the Lord is mentioned six times in Psalm 103. That word bless means to kneel or to worship and also to praise. So when we read bless the Lord, we could also read worship and praise the Lord. A chorus that captures this thought is going to be on the screen in just a minute. There we go. Perhaps some of you might know this. Let me just sing part of it, and then perhaps we'll all sing this later. It goes something like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Amen. Y'all going to do good later. We're going to sing it together. Turn up Psalm 103 if you're not there already. Psalm 103. As we begin, I can't think of a better way just to read God's word as we'll read this song, the psalm in its entirety. Follow along as I read. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his commandment, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We finish as we began. And we'll just pick out a few thoughts along the way, not on every verse, but as the Lord leads, may we grow in our appreciation and our desire to praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Verse 1 through 5 speaks of God's benefits or blessings. Again, we'll consider a few, not limited to our text alone. First and foremost, I thought of the forgiveness of sin. We have that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Again, in Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, didn't he? We praise our Savior, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We praise him for his mercy, God's mercy, not giving us what he deserved. Go down to verse 10. I know we're skipping a little bit, but verse 10 reads this way. Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Brother Timothy shared this verse several months ago. And after the meeting that night, I believe, I went back and looked at it and read the whole psalm and prompted this message. Because we are thankful and we praise God that he has not given us what we deserve. Amen. God not only shows us mercy, which we'll have more on this later, he also gives us his grace, gives us what we don't deserve. Hebrews 4:16 is a wonderful verse because it speaks of God's mercy and grace, doesn't it? Talking about prayer. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We should continually praise God for his mercy, for his forgiveness of sin, and for his grace. It's been described as God's riches at Christ's expense, and we remembered that expense this morning. Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do what the Father had for him. He was willing to go to Calvary's cross to suffer, to bleed and to die to redeem us. What a blessing. But we also have acceptance into God's presence in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we approach God's throne through prayer, and in the future we'll be in his presence forever. We can come before God's throne knowing that Christ, as our high priest, ever lives to make intercession for us. We read of that in Hebrews 7:25. But also we have the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us as well. Even when we are lost for words, the Holy Spirit intercedes. We find that statement in Romans 8:26. And we have not just acceptance, we have adoption. Think of that. Romans 8:14 through 17, we're called sons of God, children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Not just an eternal family, but an eternal home with our Lord. Turn to John 14 for a minute. John 14, the first three verses, familiar portion, but it's good to be remembered of these things. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That should cause us to praise and bless his name daily. We also have this truth in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, which says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's speaking of the church being caught up or the rapture. And then it goes on and says, and thus we shall always or forever be with the Lord. As we continue considering God's blessings to us, we have God's word as a wonderful blessing, isn't it? His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119, 105. His word is our daily guide, but it also guides us in our future walk. Many times we see the word selah at the end of a passage of Scripture. Selah means think on or consider these things, which we've just read. I was surprised to find out that selah appears 71 times in the book of Psalms. When we read God's word, take time to selah. Consider what you've read. One has said it's good to get into God's word, but it's better to get God's word into us. It only comes by contemplating, thinking on the Lord's word. God's word to man is a true blessing. In it we find eternal life, purpose for living, direction, hope for tomorrow, and so much more. God's word to help us on our earthly walk. But God gives us another wonderful blessing, His Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God indwells every born-again believer, something we can't get rid of because we weren't the ones responsible for getting it. Scripture says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. I'm thankful for that. The Holy Spirit guides us in this life, doesn't He? As His Word does. He rebukes us when we sin, comforts us in time of trouble, enlightens us as to God's plan for our lives, guides us into all truth, and empowers us to be bold witnesses. If you're in John 14, or not, go back there again, John 14, go down to verse 16. In thinking of the Holy Spirit, John 14, verse 16. John 14, 16, and this is the Lord speaking, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. And then down to 26. But the helper, here the helper is described in further detail as the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I love this portion of Scripture. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit that one will abide with us, another comforter, helper. But also, both of these Scriptures give us a picture of the Trinity, don't they? Just a little side note here. In verse 16, I, speaking of the Lord, will pray the Father, the Heavenly Father, and He will give you another helper, speaking of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Here we have Father, Son, and Spirit, the Trinity. In verse 26, we have the same again. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Father, Son, and Spirit. I think the best illustration of this is when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. You all know the story or the account. The Lord Jesus was being baptized, and the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, Father, Son, and Spirit. Some people don't believe in the Trinity, but if you give them these two verses and then the account of the Lord's baptism, it's pretty clear. There's three in one. Another blessing given to us, the opportunity to worship and to learn more of our Creator and His desire for us, and to learn about His precious Son. We had the privilege this morning of gathering for a time of worship. Even with a language difference, we could pick up thankfulness. The Lord's name was lifted up. We got a chance to praise Him in song, didn't we? Each first day of the week, we remembered our Savior. He should be our focus, to have the preeminence, as the Scripture says behind me. We're reminded of the blessings of our salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. And then at times like these, we hear God's word proclaimed. Through it, at times, we're challenged, we're encouraged, and prepared for another week of service. There's an old saying that you may have heard. It says, come and see, go and tell, when speaking of going to hear God's word, going to church. We don't need to leave it inside these walls, do we? We need to take it to a lost world that needs to hear the love of God. May those around us see the difference in our lives. And it's been said, if we were put on trial for being a Christian, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Something to think about. May we be quick to praise, to bless the Lord for all his wonderful benefits and blessings. Going on, verse 6 through 19 speaks some of God's character. This is Psalm 103, verse 6 through 19. The word merciful or mercy is mentioned four times. In verse 8, the Lord is merciful. Also in verse 8, abounding in mercy. Verse 11, so great is his mercy. In verse 17, his mercy is everlasting. Lamentations says this, chapter 3, verse 22, it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. But this verse concludes, his compassions fail not. When I think of that being consumed, I think of two different points of time. We've been saved from the wrath to come, Scripture tells us. We don't have to go through that time of tribulation after the church had been caught up, raptured, mentioned earlier. But more importantly, eternally, we've been saved from the lake of fire, which is called the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14. If God has loved us and shown us mercy and compassion, we should do the same to those around us. Let's consider some of God's other characteristics as we strive to be more like him, more like his son, day by day. And as I mentioned, perhaps not specifically here in this psalm, but I think it's good for us to consider. We think of his love. Of course, John 3:16 is the most widely known verse in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love, many times in Scripture, is followed by sacrifice. We could remember Abraham was told to take his son who he loves and sacrifice him. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Love and sacrifice is God's way, isn't it? And that word love in all these instances is the word agape, which speaks of sacrificial love. Again, Romans 5:8 says, but God commended or demonstrates his own love toward us. And then it says, Christ died. Love and sacrifice. God the Father was willing to send his precious Son to die for his creation, for us, for fallen man. The Lord Jesus Christ showed his love for us by being willing to suffer, as we were reminded of earlier, to redeem us. Praise God for his sacrificial love. Another characteristic, his holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ, second person of the Godhead, the Trinity, was and is sinless. And because of this, he's the accepted sacrifice. Scripture says that God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And I believe proof of that is because we see that our Lord was raised from the dead. He redeemed us. Not just cover sin for a time as the Old Testament sacrifices, but to do away with it by that once for all sacrifice. Through God's Spirit, which we considered earlier, the one called along our side to help, we can fight the old nature and the tendency to sin. God's Word says, be ye holy as I am holy. How can we do that? I know one day we'll be free from the bondage of the bodies of sin that we still inhabit, but until then we need to lean on the Lord, lean on His Spirit. God's Word gives us instruction in godly living. Living under the control and guidance of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? The Spirit that indwells every born-again believer. We have the fruit of the Spirit. It was mentioned today on a pastor was sharing, we were listening to. Of course, these are also called the virtues of the Spirit. The main one we see in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, all nine are mentioned, but also in Peter, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Turn there for a minute. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. 2 Peter 5, 1 through 8. Speaking of fruitful growth in the faith. Second Peter 1, 5 through 8. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which speaks of moral excellence, to virtue knowledge, which speaks of spiritual truth, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. What a progression as we seek to strive for the spiritual truth and growth. It ends up with love, which affects those around us, doesn't it? And I ask myself, and we could ask ourselves, are we being fruitful? Are these attributes, virtues, evident in my life? Remember that through Christ, we are a new creation, created by God for good, for fruitful works. God's word, again, tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. He's provided a way through his word and by his spirit. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to strive to think as he thought. Sacrificial love. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What a challenge to us. Considering God's character, as we continue, we could be reminded that God is eternal. And because he is eternal, we can have an eternal future with him. What a true benefit and blessing. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an eternal home waiting for us. He's gone to prepare, as we read earlier. To this we can say, bless, praise the Lord with all my soul. And finally, in the last couple verses, verses 20 through 22 of Psalm 103, it speaks of God's angels, his servants, and his work in all places. God's angels. Three are mentioned by name in the Bible. Gabriel, Michael, and Satan. Gabriel is the messenger, and we should be messengers for the Lord, shouldn't we? Michael's the warrior, and we should be warriors for the Lord, God's army. The Word of God is our sword of the Spirit, our offensive weapon against evil and error. All three were created, very powerful beings, speaking of Gabriel, Michael, and Satan. But Satan had one thing that the other two did not have. Pride. Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Thank you, brother. And go down to verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12, speaking of the fall of Lucifer, or Satan. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, and here is his pride, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I think Brother Ingemar described this disease as eye-itis. We need to guard against eye-itis. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let us guard against being prideful and against Satan, the author of lies, and I believe the originator of pride. But we have a way to guard against that, guard against Satan, his fiery darts. Again, we heard that this morning. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles or trickery of the devil. James 4:7 says this, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I think this is a key to resisting evil. Submit to God first. Then we are able to resist and flee. For me, James 4:7 is one of those life verses. Perhaps you would claim that as your own. The key to godly living is to be close to God, isn't it? And how do we do that? It's only by prayer, by meditating on his word. Again, the word Selah. Think on these things. Psalm 73:28 says this, 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. And Hebrews 10:22 says this, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. It's speaking of prayer, approaching God's throne of grace. As God's servants, seeking to do his will, we need daily communion with him through prayer and through his word. Think of God's servants for a minute. So many faithful servants to consider. Many faithful servants mentioned in God's word. And then I thought of Hebrews chapter 11. It's been called the hall of faith or the hall of the faithful. Many are listed here, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, Joseph, Moses, and others are listed who are named. And then lastly, list these, prophets, women, and then others, the unnamed. There have been many faithful servants in the past, but also today. Many faithful servants working to accomplish God's purpose in so many ways and in so many places. Carol and I use the CMML Missionary Handbook daily as we lift up what's listed in the front cover, 725 missionaries in 80 countries. If you go through the book every day, you can go through it 12 times a year. But we also have, in addition to missionaries, we have pastors, elders, preachers, deacons, teachers, evangelists. Most of these are in view and out front at times. But there's many more behind the scenes. The body of Christ is made up of many members, isn't it? Serving the body, those in the church, and those in the world. Let us be reminded that no act of kindness or service will go unnoticed by God. Mark 9:41, we have our Lord's words. But whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Our goal and desires we serve, to serve God in all that we do. I've been privileged to continue working in a related industry, Home Depot and plumbing. Learned a lot, but I need to remember whatever I do, it's to the Lord. Try to be a good witness. The Lord's blessed me with brothers and sisters at times by their language. We fellowship briefly. Been a blessing. But our ultimate goal, well, actually, when we're thinking about that, Colossians 3:23 says this. In other words, doing everything for the Lord. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Our ultimate goal, of course, is to hear the Lord say one day of us, well done, good and faithful servant, Matthew 25:22. Well, Psalm 103, there's much more there, but perhaps you could Selah, think on it at another time. It says, bless the Lord six times, or praise the Lord. One of the greatest praise song or songs written. But if you look through the Psalms, many are praise songs. Here's a few others. Psalm 29, praise to God in his holiness and majesty. Psalm 65, praise God for his salvation and providence. Psalm 66, praise God for his awesome works. Psalm 92, praise to the Lord for his love and faithfulness. Psalm 97, a song of praise to the sovereign Lord. Psalm 98, praise to the Lord for his salvation and judgment. Psalm 99, praise to the Lord for his holiness. Psalm 100, a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people. Psalm 103 today, praise for the Lord's mercies and blessings. Psalm 104, praise to the sovereign Lord for his creation and providence. Psalm 111, praise to God for his faithfulness and justice. I like Psalm 117, it begins, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, that's us. Laud him, all you peoples. J, Jew and Gentile alike. Psalm 118, praise God for his everlasting mercy. Psalm 135, praise to God in creation and redemption. Psalm 147, praise to God for his word and providence. Psalm 148, praise to God, praise to the Lord from creation. 149, praise to God for his salvation and judgment. And the last Psalm 150, let all things praise the Lord. Psalm 150 was shared earlier this month during a worship meeting. So if you're fine, you're lacking in your praise, my suggestion, encouragement is to consider the Psalms. Read and meditate on them. Selah, allow them to renew your praise to God the Father and to Lord Jesus Christ as you consider all of God's benefits and blessings. Praise his name. We're going to sing this. Y'all really know it, so no problem. Let's sing this as it's written. Repeat the first one, repeat the middle, and then repeat the thing, the last one, and then we'll close in prayer. Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.